just come before you, just as a body of believers. Father, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you, Lord, that, you know what? Thank you that you just let us be us, and that we can just really, truly just share with each other, pray with each other, give each other encouraging words while we're worshiping, Lord, that it doesn't have to be, we don't have to sit still. It doesn't have to look all polished. It doesn't have to, it's just because we're just trying to be who you called us to be, and we're just trying to worship you as you just want to be worshiped on any given Sunday. Father, I just, right now, before we go into hearing what you have for us, I just going to ask you guys just to join me, because we had while we were at downstate this week with his mother and trying to work through all that, we had a phone call from a young man. Not going to say who it is, but they used to come here when they were young. And the brother, the young man calls and he says, listen, he said, my brother's fully possessed. I'm convinced of it. Don't know what to do. Don't know why I'm calling you, but can you talk to me? And Apostle was able to talk to him. About how God works and what we've seen him do here in this house, and just pour into him and really speak about what God can do in those situations. And he literally says at one point, he says, you know, when my brother started acting out, demonstrating, okay, he says, all I knew to do was just start praying in Jesus' name. And he says, my brother just stopped and just kind of fell to the ground. And as long as I was praying, he was right there. He didn't move. The police showed up and things got interrupted. And, you know, God is, we're starting this whole thing about everybody will know. We're seeing this more and more and more. This is because of what God is doing here in the house and how he's using each and every one of you and the intercession and trusting what his word says. And I just want to pray over that situation. If you join me this morning as I pray over that situation, and then we'll move to the, you know, the next part of the service. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your outpouring. We thank you for how you use us. We thank you for what you've shown us. We thank you for our experiences. We thank you that because of our experiences, Lord, we know, we absolutely know without a doubt that it doesn't matter what's in front of us, that you have got a plan and you have a way to address it. Lord, I just think about that song, and it talks about, we know what the last page of the book says, that we're already conquerors, and it's just really just walking through it. Father, I just ask in this particular situation, Father, that you would just continue to speak into this young man. Lord, give us opportunities. It isn't about whether he comes here or not. It's about opportunities to be able to share with him who you are and how you work and what your promises in the Bible say. It's about us being a family because we love you, because you are our Heavenly Father, because we have asked you to forgive us our sins, because we've asked you to be our Lord and Savior. That just makes us family. So it doesn't matter whether you attend here or not. We want to connect with more and more family. We want to show them how you can move and how you work. We want you to expand our expectation. We want to get rid of hope, just an emotion. We want to operate on experiences, knowing without a doubt of what you can do and how you move, and that you want to use each one of us. Father, we want open heaven every single day. In every situation, we're looking for open heaven. That's our expectation, Father. And that's not too big of a request for you. It's not too big. You tell us, Lord, in Isaiah, if my hand has set it forth, who can stop it? That's who you are, and that's who we know you are. So, Father, we just ask that you settle on this young man, that your Holy Spirit just surround him. Just bring him a reassurance that you are with him and you have a plan, and you're going to lead him. You're going to nudge him. You're going to kind of push him in the direction he needs to go so that he can be that light to his brother. And, Father, you help us be ready if we're a part of that. We praise you for what you're doing. We praise you for what's coming. Things bigger and better than what we can imagine. That's what Jeremiah says. Bigger, what we call on me, I'll answer. I'll show you things you can't even imagine. So, Lord, we're already thinking about this. It's done. We just got to walk it out, and we look forward with expectation to what we cannot imagine yet and what is coming. Open doors, open resources, open opportunities, Father, and we will just continue to praise you and lift you up in all things. Amen. 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 Amen.
God's people said, amen. Trace, will you get Daniel 6, please, pulled up, starting in verse 3. Before we do anything, I would like if I could get a couple volunteers. The big guy's not going to like this, but I don't really care. Well, they weren't supposed to be here today. but since they are, before I get into what I'm going to be, and since I typically am not long at all, I really felt like we need to just, as a congregation, have prayer over our apostle. So what I would like is if a couple of people would just gather around him real quick, lay on hands, and we know that he is a man of wisdom. Should be an amen there. Yeah. Somebody. He is a man of wisdom, but I'm really feeling like we need to call that out even more prominently. There's some stuff going on with the family that God has placed him in charge of. Amen? So I'm going to ask that a couple people anoint him and pray over him, this expounding wisdom, so that he knows how to deal specifically with his family, which we all know it's family is some of the hardest to deal with. Amen?
Amen.
So if we can do that real quick. You just sit there and take it, okay? Just have, let's see here, Diane, would you just lead the group, please? Amen. It's good when the church comes to be used. Amen.
Amen.
Trace, would you also get verse 4 and verse 16, please? Same chapter. So, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I'm not 100% ready to do this, but let's see what the Lord has. Amen. We've got some stuff going on with our family, and originally, as of, I don't know what time it was yesterday, the text came across. We didn't think that Apostle and Prophet were going to be in service with us, so I got tagged in And I try to be 100% honest and transparent with you guys, and I spent most of yesterday trying to figure out what we were supposed to be doing today. And there was a part of me that wanted to shirk duties, but then I kept thinking, well, we need to be ready. What are our P's? We got to be ready to preach, praise, prophesy. Pass. Four P's. All right. Preach. What is it? Preach.
Pray.
That was the other one. Could not remember that one. Good Lord. So, So that kept sitting on me yesterday. I'm like, nope, I can't shirk duties. So then I just started trying to figure out where we were going to go and what we were supposed to do. And I stumbled on a meme of Daniel sitting in the lion's den. And so then so like, well, I said, let me go back and read this story because I just kind of felt like a little nudging. And there's three verses in this story that I guess I want to point out. And I could probably do this in one sentence and sit down, but I don't think that will do justice here. So what do we know about Daniel? Let's talk about Daniel. Daniel was one of the young men that was captured. They were taken over to Babylon. You guys know this story? Yes? Hello? Talk to me? I like it when you talk to me. Right? He was one of the ones that was captured. He was friends with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yes? So we know that he has seen God move. Amen? Okay? So Nebuchadnezzar passes, his son takes over, and I want to read this because this is not the verse that I asked Tracy to give, but it's in chapter 5, and the only reason I want you to see this is because it's going to lead into chapter 6. So Nebuchadnezzar has passed, and his son, I'm going to butcher his name, thank you, Belshazzar, is doing some things that he's not supposed to be doing, okay? Scripture talks about that they bring in all of the captured treasures from the temple, and he's using, you know, the goblets and the things that the Israelites had used in the temple, and he's throwing a party with them, okay? This is in 5. We'll get to 6 in a minute. Just give me just a second. So, long story short, this ticks God off, and he does something supernatural in front of Belshazzar. This is Nebuchadnezzar's son. And Belshazzar says, then Daniel was brought in the king, and the king spoke and said to Daniel, this is in chapter 5, verse 13, says, are you that Daniel who was one of the captors of Judea, whom my father the king brought from Judea? I have heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. And I thought that was really interesting. Okay. Now, yes. Okay, so now I want to jump to chapter 6. Now, I read you that so that you have this understanding that Daniel has a reputation, started with Nebuchadnezzar, then has passed to his son, okay? Chapter 6, verse 3 says, then this Daniel, now what has happened in chapter 6 is Nebuchadnezzar's son has died, he's gone, new king Darius has taken over. So we are now on the third king of which Daniel has served. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, so then in verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 3 says, you got it up there behind me, then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, that was like a viceroy or another position in government, because of a what? Excellent spirit was in him. And the king, so this is now Darius, so the third king, thought to setting him over the whole realm. And when I read that, I thought to myself, well, what on earth is an excellent spirit? I'm asking, what is an excellent spirit? I'm probably going to ask you guys more questions today than what I'm going to preach, because I just want you to think about it. And my iPad is not working. This is great. An excellent spirit. What does that mean? What does that look like? How do you apply that to your everyday life? See, and we could talk about in the physical, we could talk about in the supernatural, but what does it mean to have an excellent spirit? Okay, so we should say he had integrity.
He had integrity, yep.
Okay. But what does
he brought success?
He brought success. Okay,
to have confidence upon him in which it was seen that he excelled.
Okay.
People could tell that
there was something different. He brought success, so he obviously had some administration abilities, maybe similar to a Joseph. And because of his gifting, because of his anointing, the kings, the rulers of the region noticed him, right? Because this is not, it's one thing to say, you have one king take notice of you. It's another thing to say, we have three different kings notice this man, right? Yep. So I want you to spend some time with that. What does that look like? What does that look like in your family? What does that look like in your workplace? I mean, I have been, again, I'm going to try to be transparent when I'm up here. I have been struggling so mightily at work recently. For those of you that don't know, I work over at Sara Lee, and I'm a pie man, yes. And I've been there now for, it was March last year when I got hired in. So I've been there almost a year now. And the rampant despair that runs through the employees is crazy. It's crazy. And there is just how do I want to say this? There's just a foreboding. There's a lack of hope. And when you're in that environment, okay, again, talking about me specifically here, it is hard for me to continue to be that uplifting presence, right? I find myself, the Lord has really been convicting me over the last really couple months about watching my tongue when I'm at work, watching what I'm saying. Specifically to my employees, because they're going to feed directly off of me.
That's right.
Are you with me? So apply it to your own lives. What does it mean to have an excellent spirit?
That's so true. That's interesting, because it's not just whether you descend to their level and speak the way they speak, whether it's with vulgarity.
Yes. Correct. Right, correct. Bingo. I think, yeah, go ahead.
Share something because my mentor back there, you know, about this stuff. And they kind of shared this, and they shared this excerpt from Generate 25th, the daily devotional. And he says, enthusiastic work. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people.
Mm.
How many men would say that they work with enthusiasm?
Mm.
Mm. Do so with
show up, it's enough. Mm. As long as we are present, our duty is fulfilled. However, few things are more repulsive to God than a lukewarm believer. Mm. He wants passionate men who can act with purpose and deep humility. He does not want kingdom of believers drowning in stagnant apathy.
Amen.
The solution to apathy is living there before the face of God and remembering that every action we take has potential for eternal impact. Once we remember we are in the presence of the Almighty, our work feels more significant.
That's right.
No matter the job, no matter the work, it's all made significant by doing it for the Lord rather than for people.
Amen. Amen. I think it's in Colossians. The verse in Colossians says, anything that your hands find to do, do it as unto the Lord and not unto men, right? You ask my kids concerning their school level, right? So when Titus is at school, his teacher has this expectation of him. I have this expectation of him. The Lord has this expectation. And that doesn't change. It doesn't matter where we're at, it doesn't matter what circumstance that we find ourselves in, whether we're talking about work or family or finances or whatever. The Lord is always expecting that we are going to give the best of ourselves. Amen? What you do when nobody's looking. Yes, ma'am.
Mm. Mm. To give them hope and love. Know that somebody sees and hears them.
Mm.
Every day we approach with that in our work.
I also have to give a slightly different perspective on the verse. I have the complete Hebrew version. It says that Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators of the satraps by his exceptional qualities,
mm-hmm.
that the king planned to set him over in charge of the whole kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having qualities that are exceptional seems to be what is analogous to having an excellent spirit.
Excellent in these faculty of knowledge, and the word excellent spirit, like that phraseology only appears in Daniel a few times. But it's specifically talking about how Daniel has excellent means preeminence. He's set above everyone else in the faculties of knowledge, which means that he has a greater understanding of the inner workings of how the
what I would say, there's another verse that talks about your giftedness places you before what? Great men. Your giftedness will place you before great men. And regardless of where you're at, whether we're talking about children or we're talking about the plant, wherever God has placed you, you need to be serving them to the best of your abilities. If you don't have a job, your family, right? Whoever you come into contact with, you are serving them with excellence. Are you with me?
Yes.
Daniel was in such an upright place that the only thing, because these satraps, these governors, these guys were jealous of his position, correct? Right, they wanted the power. They were mad that he was getting the attention of the king, and so then in verse 4 it says, "So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. nor was there any error or fault found in him. And then I think it goes on in, is it verse 5? It says that the only thing that they could find was concerning his God. Are you with me? It's verse 5. Yeah, I didn't give that one to you, Tracy. I'm sorry. It says, then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Oh, that we would be a people that when the world looks at us, they can find no fault in us except for how we serve our Lord. So I want to jump to verse 16 now, which is really where I wanted to get at the start of this. So you guys know the story. You know that these governors, these satraps, they make a law. They have King Darius sign it. Darius, right or wrong, doesn't really fully gather what he is signing until the law is put into effect. Daniel knows about the law before we get to 16. Let me read verse 10. So chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room with the windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees. I'll get to that in a minute. Sorry. So I want to set the stage before we get to 16. This law gets signed. Daniel knows full well that if he prays, if he continues in the worship of God, that he is going to be guilty of the law and could be killed. You guys with me? Still with me, everybody? Okay. So when he knows that, what does he do? He goes home and he does it anyways. Yep. See, we've been talking about expectation, and we've been talking about we have to have an expectation of the Lord when we come before Him. The Lord has to have an expectation of us and how we conduct ourselves in our day-to-day lives. How many statements throughout Scripture are yes, but, or conditional statements where the Lord is willing to do something on our behalf, but only if we do something on His behalf first. Correct? Correct? I heard something this week. There's a guy preaching, and he says, you know, when I was young, I would just pray however I would pray. And he said, my father challenged me one day, and he said, you know, he's praying for whatever, finances, or he's praying for a new job, or he's praying for this, he's praying for that. And his father challenges him and says, what does the Lord get out of that? I want you to think about that for a second, right? What does the Lord get out of your behavior? What does the Lord get out of your decision making? See, there has to be, that there is this conditional back and forth where we are expected to carry ourselves in a certain way. We are expected to respond to situations in a certain way. We are expected to interact with others in a certain way. Are you with me? And then the whole reason that I wanted to even just talk about Daniel today is verse 16. Because they drag Daniel before the king, and the king is, this is his guy. This is his right-hand man who he has signed his death warrant, right? But the king pulls him aside right before he throws him into the lion's den And what does he say to him? He says, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. So Daniel was in a position, the way that he carried himself, the way that he interacted with his excellent spirit, that he had such a witness that someone from a different religion is looking at him saying, I know that your God is going to take care of you. Everyone will know. Everyone will know. The king had expectancy. Are you living your lives in such a way that your neighbors would look at you and say, I know God's going to move on your behalf? If you're not, we have room to grow. Yes? That was the one line. That was it.
Amen. I personally almost read that a little bit differently.
Okay.
To me, it just seems like, wow, and I mean, it's not a black brother to light, and I can't have any expectation of that statement. But at first, when I was just reading it, I was thinking of King's ability to really have faith.
Mm-hmm.
That does not believe. They constantly have that question, and they're constantly looking for that particular miracle, which is never really going to happen because their vessel is empty. And until they actually accept God and Jesus as their Savior, how does he present that? And I know there's a. I know I can carry myself. I can go to work, I can present my character, I can present everything, just show up with a big smile and everything, and I'm glad to do so, but it's just always hard to see that person that constantly questions.
Well, Scripture, Javi, says that we always have to give a reason for the hope that lies within us, which is, again, it comes back to that expectation piece. And I guess what I would say is that regardless of what, how do I want to word this? Please, yep, go for it. No, I mean, if you read the whole text,
right.
The king had he was bound by a set of rules and laws. So in order to maintain his governments, maintain his authority, he has to follow through. So, but then he's in this position where he knows Daniel's life. He's seen how Daniel conducts himself. And so he says, I know without a shadow of a doubt, your God, because I've seen how your God has worked through you. I know that he's going to work on your behalf.
Even though he had the claims that over Daniel, still didn't stop him from being so worried about his right hand that he went without sleep, without food, and without entertainment.
Correct.
For the whole night.
Correct. Go ahead.
Daniel was in the lion's den.
Yeah, please. Go for it.
I'm going to just close. We're going to sing, but there's something I want to make clear. And I'm going to just share something that happened this week at work, because we're down at his ma's and not getting a lot of help. And so I'm trying to do nursing care, full nursing care, from last Sunday all the way through, and I'm trying to work full-time at the same time. And work has been a complete, just you guys know that they put me in a new role, and so there's just so much going on. So in the midst of all of that, I'm sitting in front of my computer, and I got to go into this meeting. And just before I go into the meeting with my faculty, I look at some reports. And it just pushed me over the edge. Like, I'm done. I'm done. I've said this 1,000 times to them. They're not listening. They're not following. And so I kind of went off like a rocket. And they've never seen me do that. This particular group of faculty in the one course, I've had them for a year and a half. I've never been like this with them, but I was this week. And it's not that they didn't deserve it, but because they haven't been working. But later on in the evening, when I'm trying to catch up, I'm on the computer and I'm trying to catch up, and I'm going back, and I'm still like, I can't believe this. I can't believe it's this bad. Da, da, da. And I'm thinking all this stuff going my. I went back to the report, and every day when I log onto the computer, I go in and I refresh all my reports so I get current. Everything's current. I do it the first thing. I didn't do it this week. I was so distracted with what was going on with his mom and trying to do nursing care for somebody that couldn't care for themselves and just everything that was going on. And I looked at the stupid reports and I'm like, oh, no. Because when I didn't refresh, everything was distorted. So I basically went off on him unjustly. Having an excellent spirit is not doing everything perfect all the time. An excellent spirit means, in addition to trying to do it right, it's when you do it wrong, what do you do? How do you conduct yourself when you totally screw up? That is as much about an excellent spirit as when you do everything right. You cannot forget that. It's because, like, David, God, you know, we talk about this. David committed adultery. David did a census when he wasn't supposed to, and 70,000 people got killed. David wasn't a perfect man, but God said he is a man after my own heart. And why is that? Because when he screwed up, when he wasn't acting with an excellent spirit, as soon as he figured out what he did wrong, he got back to that excellent spirit right away. Being an excellent spirit is really simply put, and you've heard me say this, you've heard us say this, we talk about it all the time, is just making Jesus happy. Whatever you do, you make Jesus happy. If Jesus is happy, everything else is good. If Jesus is happy, you're walking in an excellent spirit. And that means that when you screw up, you got to go back and you got to correct things. I had to go back to my faculty and say to them, I owe you an apology. I went off on you. I didn't refresh my screen, my reports like I always do. And you did not deserve that. One of the things that came out of that, I had a couple faculty call me, and they're like, thank you. I'm like, thank you. I just yelled at you needlessly. Like, I just got all over you needlessly. And they're like, yeah, but we've never had a manager. We've never had a manager tell us that they screwed up and ask us to forgive them. See, we're planting seeds. And Daniel's right, we're planting seeds. And Andrea's right, we're planting seeds. We don't always see the results of our excellent spirit. But when we are busy making Jesus happy, even when we screw up, we set things right away. And we let his spirit settle, because those things resonate with people and they leave a mark on them. It leaves an impression on them, and that gives opportunity for somebody else to come along and add to it until they get to the point where they're ready to say, man, I don't know, I've had all these experiences in God. I don't know, I just got to find out more about this. So have an excellent spirit. Colossians 3:23, that's the verse. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it unto the Lord and not unto men. Paraphrase, make Jesus happy. Just make Jesus happy. And if you screw up, say so. And get back on track again, because that makes Jesus happy. We're just gonna close today. Worship team's going to lead us in a song. If Apostle will get a couple people up here at the altar, he'll find some people. If you want to just come up and spend some time with the Lord by yourself or in your pew.